Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through verse 31. The Passion Translation says it like this: as Jesus left the house, two men began following him, shouting out over and over, "Son of David, show us mercy and heal us." And they followed him right into the house where Jesus was staying. So Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes?" They replied, "Yes, Lord, we believe." Then Jesus put his hands over their eyes and said, "You will have what your faith expects." I want to say that again. You will have what your faith expects. And instantly their eyes opened. They could see. Then Jesus warned them sternly, "Make sure that you tell no one what just happened." But unable to contain themselves, they went out and spread the news everywhere. Now we might be quick to judge them for going against what Jesus said. But if you received what your faith expected, and your eyes were open and you received a miracle you've been believing for a long time, could you keep it quiet? Could you not tell anybody? Could you zip it up? You want to know the reality? There's no way. Jesus knew, I believe, with all of my heart, before he ever spoke that statement, he knew what they were going to do. But I want to go back to that. You will have what your faith expects. I want to share with you in a place today where I feel like we've been for a little while preaching in different subjects, different things, but dealing a lot with our faith and what we believe and where we are. And I'm going to tell you why. Because our faith is the key to everything God is going to do in our life. Let's just get real. You can pray all you want to, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. You can talk about it all you want to, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. You can get everybody gathered together to pray with you and agree with you, but you have to believe. So let me say again, the key factor to everything God wants to do, will do in our life, is how we believe. And from that today, I want to share with you this. When you move into what you cannot see, you will be amazed what you will see. I know that's sort of a lengthy title, but I want you to get it again. When you move in what you can't see, you will be amazed at what you will see. Thank you this morning. Faith has to be beyond sight. I want everybody to get that beginning statement. Faith has to be beyond sight. Faith beyond sight is not assuming something far-fetched, nor is it placing a fleece before God before you ever take action upon it. Faith beyond sight simply believes Jesus. It believes the Word of God, and then it acts upon it. Faith beyond sight is trusting without feeling or seeing. We cannot always go by what we feel. We cannot always go by what we see, because if we go by feeling, we'll never get anywhere many times. If we go by what we see, we'll never receive anything many times. But faith is trusting without feeling or seeing. Faith beyond sight is a deep understanding that the Holy Spirit lives big within you. Now I want you to catch that one again. It is a deep understanding that the Spirit of God doesn't just live in you, but that He lives big in you. You know what that means? He's powerful in you. He's almighty in you. He will do anything in you that you allow Him to do. Faith beyond sight gives God complete control. Faith beyond sight gives God complete control. Sometimes when a person cannot see their way out and all options are gone, then God can take control. So many times we have to be out of all of our options. We have to be out, everything else has to be exhausted before we can come to the place that we can give God full control in our life. Faith beyond sight is walking in blind trust with God. Greg, do you have that blindfold with you? Is it with you? Okay, it's okay. Faith beyond sight is walking in blind trust with God. It's believing the Lord no matter what you see, think, or understand about where you are in life. It is believing God. Now, I was going to give you a little illustration, but I'll just share it with you like this. If I had someone on this stage with me this morning, and I had them blindfolded and I had them by the hand, and I was walking them around, the person who would be with me would be in total trust of me. Every step, I would have to provide everything for them. Every step they took, everything they did would be dependent upon what I did for them. Why? They could not see where they were going. They could not know where the next footstep would be. They would not know in what next step or what place they would be in. This is where we need to come to with God, where we trust God with every step of our life, where we trust God with every move that we make, in everything that we come to in our life. Amen. Now we go to Matthew chapter 9, as I read from earlier. But I want to take you a little further up or back in that past chapter, if you will. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is worshipped by a ruler. And the ruler asked Jesus to lay hands on his dead daughter. So Jesus goes into the girl's house where she is lying, and there are flute players there, there are wailers there are mourners there. And I want you to notice what Jesus does first. When he goes into the house where they are wailing and they are mourning and they are weeping and all of these things, the first thing Jesus did, he cast them out of the house. He removed them from the place. Then he takes the dead daughter by the hand, and the Bible said that she rose up, that she came to life. But I want to make something very clear here this morning. When you throw out all doubt, a miracle will rise up. When you get rid of all doubt, a miracle will come into place. You cannot hold on to your doubts, hold on to your fears, and hold on to the things that have held you bound and expect a miracle to happen in your life or for what you're praying and believing for. You have to shake everything else off and throw out the doubt and fear and say, God, I trust you with everything. Then we go back to chapter 9 again. Jesus is just being himself. And then all of a sudden a woman comes to him who's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She has strong faith, and she says to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, from that story, I just want to share one little thing with you. When she acted, it happened just as she believed it. When she acted upon her faith, it happened just as she believed it. Can I say to this church this morning, our actions show what we really believe. Our actions show what we really believe. Now we come to the story of two men here in Matthew chapter 9 again, in verse number 29. And we read the first part earlier, but it says here that Jesus touched the eyes of these two blind men. He laid his hands upon them with physical contact. He touched their eyes. And then I like what he said. You will have what your faith expects. If you expect to be healed, you will be healed. If you expect to be free, you will be free. If you expect things to be different, they will be different. One man said it this way. Our expectations yield tremendous power and influence in our lives. Our expectations yield tremendous power and influence. So in other words, what you expect many times will come to happen or happen because you believe it. Amen? But now let me take that a little further. It's not many times. If you expect, it will happen. That's what faith is all about. If we expect and we believe, that's when God begins to move. Now, I will tell you there have been times in my life when I was expecting something to happen, and it didn't happen when I thought it ought to. It didn't happen in my time frame, or it didn't happen when I was expecting it to happen. But one thing I've always found out, God has always come through for me right on time. And he has never failed me. He has never come up short. And he has never one time let me down. But so many times we feel like God has failed us because it doesn't happen in our expected time frame. God didn't say he was going to do it when you wanted him to. God said he would do it in the what? He'd do it in the right time, in the right place, but God will supply our need. God will meet us where we are. But notice in verse 29 again, you will have what your faith expects. Now that's not my word, that's his word. That's how you know that if you expect it, it's going to happen. That's how you know with full assurity, if you expect it, even though it doesn't happen in your time frame all the time, it will happen. Why? His word said that you will have what your faith expects. And can I tell you, we usually receive what we believe. If we really believe it, we receive. Amen? We usually receive what we believe. But many times we do not receive because our faith is lax somewhere and we're missing our faith or something is not connected in faith. But let me say that again. We usually receive what we believe, but unfortunately, this principle works as strongly in the negative as it does in the positive. A lot of times we don't get because we don't believe. We do not receive because we do not believe God. Let me give you this. If a person runs 2 miles every day, he would not run 2 miles every day until he first believed for 1 mile. He has to believe that he can make it a half a mile. He has to believe he can make it 1 mile. He has to believe he can make it a mile and a half. And then he comes to the place that he can believe for 2 miles. So when somebody tells you he runs 2 miles every day, do not believe. He started out right out of the gate running 2 miles every day. He had to build up to what he believed he could do. His faith had to build within himself. Let me give you a fact here. Low expectations destroy faith and limits God. Low expectations destroy our faith and it limits God. So in other words, if we don't expect, we do not receive. In Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41, how many times they rebelled in their desert days. How they grieved him with their grumblings. Again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. I want you to notice what it said. They were too busy grumbling. They were too busy rebelling. And the Bible said because of their grumbling and their rebelling, they were limiting God. Why? Because they did not believe. Because they did not believe that he would do what they were believing for, or he would do what they were asking for. In Matthew 9, again, it tells us about these two blind men. They're following Jesus, and they're shouting over and over again, Son of David, show us mercy and heal us. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible said that they followed him, and they were shouting it over and over. They didn't just say it one time. They kept saying, Jesus, Son of God, heal, Son of David, heal us, heal us, heal us. And because of their persistence in their expectation, God or Jesus responded to their cry. And I want you to hear this again this morning. Jesus said, do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes? Do you believe that I have the power to do what you're asking me to do? And they replied, yes, Lord, we believe. Not only did they ask again and again, but they responded with the right response. Yes, Lord, we believe. Jesus was asking them, do you believe I can do this? And in furtherance of that, you can hear it being implied. Can you see the answer? In other words, when Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? Can you see it for yourself? Well, I want to stop and say this to the church. Do you believe that he can do what you have been asking him for? Do you believe that he can do what you have been believing him for? But then you have to ask yourself the question, can you see it happening in your life? Can you see it being revealed? Can you see it coming into place? Can you see it coming into existence? Jesus knew what these men needed. He knew their heart's desire, but yet he wanted to know if their faith was genuine. He knew what they needed. He knew everything about their desire, but he wanted to know, did they have genuine faith? Did they really believe? He wanted to know what they really believed about him. And they said, yes, Lord, we believe. And because they had believed, the Bible said, he put his hand over their eyes in verse 29 and 30, and he said, you will have what your faith expects. And then it said, instantly their eyes were opened, and they could see. When they said, yes, Lord, we believe, he put his hands upon them, and he said, you will have what you have expected. And I want everybody in this room to hear me. When he touched them and spoke those words, the Bible said that they were healed immediately. They were healed immediately. If you were instantly, their eyes were open, and they could see. I want you to notice one thing about this. It was what they believed that made it happen. It was what they believed that made it took place. It was what they believed that caused them miracle to transpire in that moment. It was their believing that brought their healing. And I want to stop and say to this church, it is your believing that's going to bring your healing. It is your believing that's going to bring your miracle. It is your believing that's going to move the hand of God in your life. Others can pray for you, but no one can have faith for you. I want to say that one more time. Others can pray for you, but no one can have faith for you. You have to have faith for yourself. They can have faith with you, but they cannot have faith for you. People can believe with you, but they cannot believe for you. They can have faith together, united with you, but they cannot have faith for you. You have to take charge of your own life, and you have to say to yourself, no matter what happens, I will believe God. No matter what happens, I will believe God. No matter what takes place, I will believe God. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing, I believe God. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling, I believe God. It doesn't matter what things reveal to me, I believe God. It don't matter what people are saying, I believe God. It doesn't matter what the world's turning to, I believe God. It doesn't matter how topsy-turvy things are, I believe God. It doesn't matter if there's no way out, I believe God. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look like there's an answer, I believe God. It doesn't matter. I believe God. You have to come to that place in your life that it does not matter. I believe God. Ooh. What you believe has bigger impact on your life than what anybody else believes. I can believe for you all day long, but what you believe for yourself has a greater impact on your life than what anybody else will ever believe for you. Somebody else can believe the greatest things for your life, but if you don't believe it for yourself, it can't happen. Are you listening to me? Somebody else can believe the greatest things for your life, but if you can't believe it for yourself, it can't happen. What you believe has a bigger impact on you yourself than what anybody else can believe. Notice in verse 29 how the Message Bible says it. Jesus touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." Oh, I want you to hear that again. He said, "Become what you believe." And I want to say this to somebody. Somebody, hear me now. You need to become what you believe. I'm talking to that person that needs healing. I'm talking that person needs a miracle. I'm talking that person been praying for your husband, your wife, your children. But I'm also talking to that person who's been believing to go to the next level with God. You've been believing to go to the next place with the Lord, but for some reason you've been stuck in that same little rut in that same little place for so long. I want you to listen to me right now. You got to become what you believe. If you believe you can get there, you will get there. If you believe you can be then, that you will be that. If you believe it can happen in your life, it will happen in your life. You got to become what you believe. Not what someone else believes. Not what someone else thinks. Not what somebody else wants. But you got to become what you believe. You got to become what you want. You got to become what you think. So let me just ask you, what do you believe? Let me ask you, what do you want? Let me ask you, what are you thinking? What are you thinking right now? As a man thinks in his heart, as a man thinks of himself, that's who he is. That's where he is. So I'm going to ask you this. What do you believe? Let me ask you this. What do you want? And let's just, what do you think? I'm not asking what I think. What do you think? I'm not asking what I believe. What do you believe? I'm not asking what I want. What do you want? It's an individual thing between you and your God. Nobody else. Just you and God. Remember this. I want you to hear this well, and I want you to remember. You are today what you believed about yourself yesterday. I've shared that thought with you before, but I had to share it again today. You are today what you believed yourself to be yesterday. What you believe yesterday is what you are right now. And what you believe right now is what you're going to be tomorrow. So if you want your tomorrow to be different, believe different. You want your tomorrow to be different? Believe differently than what you believe right now. You want your tomorrow to be greater? Believe greater. You want your tomorrow to be bigger? Believe bigger. You want great things from God? Believe for great things from God. Faith beyond sight is faith that looks to Jesus in everything. Faith beyond sight looks to Jesus in everything in our life. When you move in what you can't see, you'll be amazed at what you will see. But Sister Jean, I'm going to take that one step further. When you move in what you can't see, you will see. End the question. When you move in what you can't see, you will see the hand of God. I want you to stand to your feet all over this room. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. We're going to do this a little bit differently today. I want to pray for everybody in this room. Don't get nervous. It won't take long. We don't have a middle aisle anymore. So here's what we're going to do. I want every one of you that'll help listen to me. Go out the back door. Don't leave. Come around to this door And we're going to bring a line down this way. I'm going to pray for the first one. Listen to me. I'm going to pray for the first one. After I pray for you, I want you to stop right here. I'm going to pray for the second one. You stop right here. Third one, you stop here. Fourth, you just on down the line. And we're going to make a little prayer wall. And the further we go down, the more people we're going to have to pray. And as they come through, we're going to send them through the prayer wall. And you're going to lay hands on them. And you're going to pray over them. And we're going to agree together. Me and my family was talking about this a few days ago. Had no idea, Charles, God was going to do this day. But we was talking about a prayer line. Oh, how awesome it would be to see God moving. And last night, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, pray for them. Lay hands on each one of them. But here's what he told me. I'm not going to try to give you anything. I'm just going to touch you and he's going to do the rest. Oh! So we're not going to spend 15 minutes with each person. I know I say that a lot, and sometimes I get hung up. And if God tells me to pray for somebody a special way, I'm going to do that. But unless he does, we're just going to lay hands on you, and we're going to move on down the line. But as we put our hands upon you, when you move in what you can't see, you're going to be amazed by what you're going to see. Because God is about to move in your life. Make that line if you would. Get ready, Leslie. Y'all get ready to sing it? Come on, make that line. Make that line. Make that line. I want to ask our senior adults to come to the front of the line. Let our senior adults come to the front of the line. That way they don't have to stand in a long line. Joe, tell the senior adults to come to the front of the line. There they come. Give them just a moment to get in line. I just want to tell you as they're lining up, as your faith is this morning, as your faith is this morning, God is going to reveal himself in you and to you. As your faith is this morning, God is going to move in you. And I want to tell you something. I want somebody to hear me. Sometimes we make it sound simple and we just play it off. But there's some of you in this line. I know you can hear me in the hallway. There's some of you in this line who got some major issues going on in your life. You got some major difficulties happening in your life. But when we come into agreement together with prayer, God will move immediately in your situation. And I don't care how big it has seemed. I don't care how difficult it has felt. God can turn it all around for you in an instant of time. And that's exactly what we are believing for this morning. Now I want to ask you this. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I know there's been a little confusion getting everybody in line, but are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, put your hand together. Give the Lord praise. Are you ready?